Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank you, Lord, for gathering us all here today inside your house. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing, which is always rich upon us. Lord, as we gather here in preparation of Thanksgiving and beginning the Christmas season, Lord, really pray that you would help all of us keep our eyes focused solely on you more than anything else. Lord, don't let us be distracted by so many things going on outside, and let us just keep really our eyes focused on you and guide us today into the direction and path that you want us to go in. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, with the intercessions and prayers of all your saints. Hear us as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All righty, before we get to today's topic, the past 2 days, I've learned a lot. And the reason why I've learned a lot, because the past 3 days, sorry, since Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I was in a lot of airports. I went to Chicago for a day and came back. Then I went to Nashville for a day and came back. So over the past 3 days, I've been in Dulles Airport 2 times, and I've been in Chicago Airport once, and Nashville, Tennessee once. And when I travel, okay, I don't like to travel. I hate airplanes. I hate it with all my passion. I hate the security line, especially the new and improved security line, okay, where we get very close with the people. I was telling my wife, I feel like I know the men at Dulles Airport Security better than I know her recently, okay. Been very intimate with one another. One of the things that I like to do, that I always do, is I people watch. Okay, and I'm kind of an analytical person, so I just can't help but, you know, observing different kinds of people. And airports are like a great place to study people. Because in airports, there are 3 general categories of people. First is your casual traveler. Your casual traveler is probably the guy with the roller bag, maybe the boy with his girlfriend or the husband with his wife, and they're kind of strolling through and they're talking, maybe sipping on a Starbucks. Casual traveler. Nashville has lots of casual travelers. Then is the family travelers. You do not want to be behind these guys in the security line, okay? I stood behind a family of 4, and I'm telling you, they kept taking stuff out of their bag and stuff, and I didn't know that so much stuff could be inside their bag. They had like 6 of those bins, and I'm just sitting there and watching all the other ones go by, driving me crazy. Don't want to get behind the family. And then is the best guy in the world to watch is the expert traveler, the business traveler. And the business traveler, man, he knows where he needs to go. He knows how he needs to get there, and you do not want to get in his way. So last night as I came in, I arrived last night at like 9:30 p.m. And I guess everyone just really wanted to get home. Last night, Dulles Airport, a lot of expert travelers. I'm telling you, it was like the running of the bulls getting off that plane. And people were going, and I saw this one guy. And I, like I said, I noticed these things, and I like to keep myself entertained in various ways. And one guy was like NASCAR, like he was weaving in and out of traffic, okay? And he was not gonna be denied and getting from to the plane to the baggage claim. So I decided, I'm gonna race him. And we kind of made eye contact at one point in time of like, it's on. Like, you know, the cars at the stop sign, like, so all of a sudden, I had an advantage because I had only a backpack, no roller bag. So we were weaving and bobbing, and you take some turns and hairpin turns. And I remember we were coming around this corner one time, and I took a big risk. But I said, I'm going for the gold here. And it was going up the escalator. There was escalator, and then stairs. But I mean, it was probably like 70, 80 stairs. So I saw he was a little bit ahead of me. He went escalator. I said, you know what? I'm going to take him on the stairs. And what happened, he turned the corner, got on the escalator, I went up the middle steps, we're both going up the steps, he ran into a family of 4, and he could not surpass them. And I'm telling you, when I walked out the gate to the baggage claim, I was like, yes! I keep myself entertained in various ways. Hey, all joking aside, there's something wrong with us. There's something wrong with us in society. And everyone kind of sees it, and everyone kind of notices it, but maybe you don't realize how dangerous it's becoming. We as a society are going faster and faster and faster and faster, and we will do anything to shave 2.4 seconds off of our time. Like I was turning the corners, not knowing blindly who's going to be on the other side. When you go, I was up in Toronto one time, in the Toronto airport. I think I told you guys this. In Toronto airport, you know how they have the moving walkways? So there's like a moving walkway, it's like 100 yards, and then a break, and then another 100 yards. Toronto had one like super duper express walkway, which was like the whole way from the start to finish, and there was no stops, and it was like no moving allowed. You had to like buckle yourself on. That thing's going like 20 miles an hour. Anything to shave 2.4 seconds off of our time. Go drive on the Beltway and you will see the lengths that people are willing to go to and the risks people are willing to take to save themselves a few seconds. Everybody's in a hurry. Everybody's always multitasking. I realize how bad I've gotten with it. One of my favorite things at Costco now is frozen peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Raise your hand if you had a frozen peanut butter and jelly. They are so good. What's gotten into us people that we need our peanut butter and jelly sandwiches frozen because we don't have time to make them? What's gotten into us as a society? We look at stuff like that and we say the fast pace and we say that life goes by so quick and the days go by so quick and we say, you know, we wish it wasn't like that, but we do nothing about it. Because what we have done is we make excuses. Oh, life is it's just a busy season of my life or just a busy time. Or that's just the area that we live in. We even do it in a spiritual way as well. We say, you know what? I'm serving God, and I'm doing stuff for God, and I'm my family, and we make spiritual excuses as well. Here's the problem with moving so fast in life. When you move so fast, you don't have time to examine what's going on. Just like the expression, to stop and smell the roses, you don't have time to enjoy life, and more importantly, to examine and correct things. Like, when I'm going 100 miles an hour, I can't make corrections on my car. Because going 100 miles an hour, if I want to fix some stuff on my car, I need to slow down and listen. Oh, what's that sound? Or maybe get out and check this. But all of us are going 100 miles an hour, and stuff may be broken, and we may not even realize it because we're moving too fast. What I want to do today, what we're here in the middle of a series called Surviving the Season. And there's two ways you can take this Surviving the Season. I'm talking about now that the holiday season is upon us, everyone's least favorite time of year, because everyone tells us it's supposed to be the happiest time, but for most it's not the happiest time. We agreed it's probably one of the most stressful times of year. How to survive this season of stress without going crazy and killing my family. Or you can take it in a different way of just any season of stress in life, any season of busyness, how to survive. What I want to look at today is this hurried lifestyle that we live and the effects of a hurried lifestyle on us and what we can do about it. Holidays are supposed to be a time where we slow down, we celebrate, we relax, but for most of us, it's the exact opposite. So first thing, the one who's going 100 miles an hour, the one who's eating the frozen peanut butter and jellies at all times, the one who life is just going too fast, too fast, too fast, hurried lifestyle. Four effects that this will take on you. Number one, first one, and easiest one, is you'll feel more stress in life. That's simple. That's a fact. The more activities you're involved in, the more commitments you have, the more stuff you do, the more stress is going to go up. We've done something bad when we have said to ourselves that stress is just a part of life. That's bad when we say that. That it's like, you know what? It's just always going to be there and we should always just be stressed. And we think that it's weird when we're not stressed and when we're not moving 100 miles an hour. And we've just accepted it as that's how life is. It's Northern Virginia. It's just a stressful area and my job and my kids. And we just accept it as a stressful part. As stress is just part of life. Well, I do not believe the human body was made to handle the amount of stress that we put on it. Just like a car is not made to go pedal to the metal at all times, the human body is not made to handle the amounts of stress that most of us are putting on it on a daily basis. I read an interesting statistics. Parents, will find this one interesting. Those who say stress is just a part of my life, and it's just a part of my job, it's just part of my life. 75% of adults believe that their stress has little to no impact on their kids. 75% of adults think that their stress has little to no impact on their children. 91% of children say they know when their parents are stressed. Parents, 75% say, my stress doesn't affect my kids. Kids, 91% say, I know when mom and dad are stressed. We cannot accept stress as part of life. We're not made to be stressed at all times. Yes, there's some parts that are inevitable, but we can't accept it. Second thing, effects of a hurried lifestyle is I lose my joy. Like I said, the stop and smell the roses expression. The faster you move, the less time you have to enjoy what God has given you in life. Job chapter 9, verse 25 says, my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. They see no good. Can you relate to that verse? Anyone relate to that verse? Can you guys relate to that? Is this okay? This one? This one? This one? This one was cutting out? No? No? Okay, sorry. I'm stupid. Sorry. Because I talk so fast, I don't hear myself. Yeah, can you relate to this verse? That my days are so swift that they go away and I didn't see any good. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that the person who gets to the end of his day, end of his week, end of his month, end of his year, and says, nothing good happened? Either A, the problem is that nothing good happened, or B, that he was just running too fast to be able to notice it. Do you think it was A? I think it was B. It's not that nothing good happened, it's just the faster and faster you go, the more you miss it. Ask yourself, when was the last time I felt true, genuine joy in my life? Like, true, genuine, like, joy in my life. If you can't remember, something ain't right. Now, some people say, I'll give you the spiritual response to this. We shouldn't take time off, and we shouldn't rest. The devil doesn't rest. The devil doesn't rest, we shouldn't rest. The devil doesn't take vacation, we shouldn't take vacation. Well, since when is the devil your role model in life? Why you want to be like him of all people? I don't want to be like him. I want to be like God. Does God rest? Does God take time off? Absolutely he does. God rested after working and took time to enjoy and say, this is good. We need to do the same. Number three, effects of a hurried lifestyle. And this one seems counterintuitive. The faster you go, the less you get done. I believe you are less productive when you go through life in a hurry. Again, that's counterintuitive for most of us because we think the faster I go, the more I get done. Those who took economics, law of diminishing returns. You remember that one? Y'all know what law of diminishing returns means? It means that sometimes the more I do, the less I get done. And I know that may not make sense, but I know it makes total sense. The more I do, the less I get done. The Bible says the following, Proverbs 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. You ever feel like the faster I go, the further I get behind? You ever feel that way? Like the more I try to catch up, the more I'm just get behind, whether it's at work or in relationships or whatever it may be. Well, God did not create us to live this way. And then the last effect of a hurried lifestyle is I cannot hear God. And you know why you can't hear God? Because there's no noise. And we can't hear when there's no noise. I'll show you. We'll do a little test. We're going to take 10 seconds of absolute silence. Ready, go. Painful, isn't it? It hurts. Some people watching my fingers like, turn. It's painful. It hurts. We can't go 10 seconds. We can't get anything done when it's so quiet. We need stuff around us. We need noise. We need TV. We need music. We need stuff in this ear and stuff in that ear and stuff in my face. We need stuff around us. And when there's not stuff around us, we get confused. But the Bible says you can't hear God when there's stuff around you. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. When was the last time that you were still and knew that he was God? In stillness and worshiped God and heard God and just hung out with God. The fear is, again, the one who says, God doesn't speak to me. God doesn't speak to me. You know, I'm going to go with God when he says that he is speaking and maybe you just ain't listening. Maybe you just always get a busy, he gives a busy signal. Maybe all the circuits are always jammed and he's just one voice of 100 voices around you and maybe you don't realize his voice because there's so much noise that's going on around you. This is what happens. This is how most of us live. More stress, less joy, less productive, can't hear God. This is what happens when you're going 100 miles an hour at all times. What we want to figure out today is how to slow down. Slow down. And I found a nice acronym of SLOW that'll teach us how to slow down. First is the S, is to stop the constant push for more. What does that mean? Stop the constant push for more. What that means is that the first step to dealing with stress and hurry and busy is not outside, it's inside. We usually start outside. Oh, it's stressful. Let me buy a new phone and that will solve all my problems. I'm sure if I get the new iPhone, then all my problems will be solved. I'll be great. Or I'm sure if I just took this vacation. We start outside. And I'm saying if you want to really make a difference, you want to really make a change, Bible taught us first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish that the outside may be clean also. We start inside. The answer is not a new technology. The answer is not read this book. The answer is not attend this seminar. The answer is not buy this product. The answer is to start asking yourself some tough questions. Asking yourself some difficult questions that we don't usually like to ask ourselves. Why is it that I want more? Why is it that I really want this promotion, which I'm working 24 hours a day for? Why? Ask yourself a tough question. Why is it that I'm working around the clock to achieve this or to gain this? Why? What's my motivation? What's driving me? You can apply that to anything. Apply it in your career. You can apply that in terms of pleasure and entertainment. You can apply that in terms of spending, materialism, whatever it is. What's pushing me to want more and more and more? On the surface, you're going to say, nothing wrong with being ambitious. We're in America, land of the free, home of the brave. And we should be ambitious. Look, I'm not against ambitious. I'm not against it. It's great to be ambitious. I'm telling you, God puts a spirit of ambition inside of us. But what I'm saying, not all ambition is good. Don't be fooled by that. Not all ambition is good. We in this country, we take someone who has achieved a lot, CEO, president of something or other, say, oh, he did this at a young age. Wow. And we hold him up as an example. Why? Why we hold him up as an example? Because he achieved something at a young age? Realizing that he killed all his relationships in the process? Realize he doesn't know who God is? Realize that he's miserable and lonely on the inside, but we hold him up as an example. Hey, look at this guy. At age 25, he did this. Bravo. And he killed his life? And we hold it up as an example. I'm telling you, don't just take someone who's ambitious and say that that's someone that's to be emulated. A lot of people who achieve a lot of high achievers, don't do it for the right reasons. A lot of people who are very, very successful and very, very, like, established. Fear. Guilt. You know what drives a lot of people who are very successful? Insecurity. Some of the most successful people, the greatest leaders, are by far and away the most insecure people. And they are driven to prove that they have worth and they have value.
And they're always, I'll show you. I'll show you. And they're insecure and they're empty on the inside. Why we hold them up as an example? Anytime that you confuse your worth with your work, you will be stressed out. Anytime you confuse, anytime you get your value, your worth from your work, from your achievements, you'll be stressed because it's never going to be stable. It's always going to be something else or someone else or some. It's always going to be something. We have value not because of what we do. We have value because of who we are. We are the sons and the daughters of the great King Jesus. That's why I'm valuable, and that's why I am eternally, eternally significant. Someone was going through a tough time recently at work, and they're stressed out by their job and like tests and all this kind of stuff. And I told this person, I was like, look, you got a lot of stress, and you got a lot of stress, and you got a lot of stress. But nothing that happens at work is A, going to affect how God looks at you, number one. If you fail this test, God ain't going to look at you different. Nothing that happens at work today is going to change your significance in God's eyes. And number two, nothing that happens at work today is going to change your significance in my eyes. It was my wife, so that's why I could say that. Okay, it wasn't like, it was, yeah. I told her, God's going to love you the same today regardless of what happens at work, and I'm going to love you the same today regardless of what happens at work. And nothing's going to change that. Maybe the people at work may look at you different, or maybe something, but nothing's going to change those two things. And we agree the most important thing is our love for God and our love for each other. And that's the most important thing. So nothing that happens at work is going to change either of those two things. The problem gets when we think that what happens at work or what happens with these achievements is going to affect my value and my worth. So, starting point, slowing down, don't look here, look here. Don't look, get a Band-Aid. Don't just say, oh, if I read this book, oh, that would solve all my problems. Or if I took this class, or if I bought this phone, or don't do that. All that is putting a Band-Aid on it, and it's not really dealing with the root. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6 gives us some good advice. It says, better a handful with quietness than both hands full together with toil. Do you get that? Better a handful with quietness, with peace, better than two handfuls with toil and no peace. If you are not content with the handful that's in your hand today, then I guarantee you, getting a second handful will not make you content either. The second handful doesn't make us content. Because you know why? Because right now, the handful that's already in your hand, there was a point in time in life where you wanted to achieve that more than anything else. And you strove and you said, oh, if I can only get this, then I'll be content. And now you got that, and now you want this that's next to it. And there will always be more achievements, always be more accomplishments, always be more material stuff. And if you're not content with what you got today, and you're not content with your circumstances today, you will never be content with circumstances or any achievement or anything. One other thing that helps you out in slowing down and stopping this push for more is stop comparing yourself to others. It's another way we get tripped up. Proverbs 14, verse 30. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. The second you begin to compare to someone else, discontent right off the bat. Regardless of how the comparison ends up, if you're better or you're worse, as long as you start to look, that means that you're no longer content with this, you're going to be in trouble. So step number one is stopping the constant push for more. Ask yourself some tough questions. Why I keep comparing with others? Why I keep chasing this? Why I rush and I'm hasty? Why? What's really going on inside? Second step, the L in slow, is learn to say no. Here is, you know those time management seminars and books and all that stuff? Here it is, right there. There's a time management seminar that's worth $1 million. Learn to say no. Didn't George Bush, the first guy, teach us? Just say no. We need to learn to just say no. And what I discovered is that the just say no to the drugs, that's important. But I discovered that we also need it because the busyness and the action is like a drug as well. The adrenaline rush that comes with always being in the mix and always being in the stuff, and it's addictive, and we need to learn to just say no. Recently, I'm on this kick about being busy, and I don't want to be busy, and I'm not busy. And I made a decision in life. Here's my decision. I told you it was cutting out. Here's my decision in life. You're going to hold me accountable to it. I am never, ever going to say the following words. I'm busy. Never. I'm not busy. I hate it when people come to me and say, oh, you know, I need, but I know you're so busy. And that feeds us. And we, yeah, I'm busy. Yeah, look at me, and I have phones and stuff, and yeah, I'm busy. Yeah, I'm busy. What's that mean, I'm busy? I'm not busy. I have 24 hours. You have 24 hours. No one's busy. It's how you choose to spend your 24 hours. I'm busy is an excuse. It's an excuse to not do something you're supposed to do. Oh, I should spend time with God, but I'm busy. Oh, my wife needs me, but I'm busy. Oh, I should help so-and-so, but I'm busy. I'm busy is nonsense. I guarantee you, 1 o'clock today, kick off the Skins down in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm not busy. No such thing as I'm busy. Let's make a commitment together. No one anymore say I'm busy, because it's a cop-out. And it's an excuse to just do what you want. I'm not busy. Don't ever anyone say, I'm too busy for you. I'm not too busy for you. I may not want to do what you want me to do. It's not because I'm too busy. It's because I just don't want to. Okay, so that's a different problem. But, I mean, that's the truth. We like to make ourselves feel important by thinking that we're so busy. I know a guy who had a lot to do but was never really busy. That's Jesus. He had a lot to do. He had to save the whole world. That's a pretty big list, a thing on the action item list. He never said he was too busy. He never walked around like we do. He never was jumping through, weaving through traffic the way we do in the airport. He walked slowly. Someone said, hey, Jesus. Bible says he stopped and listened. That stopped and listened, every time I read that verse, that's a miracle to me. Every time someone called, he stopped and he listened. Oh, my goodness. How, God? How? Learn to say no. Believe it or not, Jesus was actually very good at saying no. And he oftentimes said no. And he told the people, you want miracles? No, I'm going up the mountain to pray. You want me to stay here forever? No, I'm going to the next city. Many times Jesus said no. And here's the thing that I learned, is that when you don't say no, you are saying no, but just to something different. Everything is a no. Everything is no. Because like I said, you have limited amount of time. So when I say no to you, I'm saying yes to something else. And if I say yes to you, I'm saying no to something else. So the one who says to me, Abuna Anthony, I need you to come do this on Monday morning. And if I say yes, Monday morning is my time with God. It's my day off. So that's basically saying, God, no. Yes to you. And then on Monday afternoon, try to spend some time with the kids. So someone says, no, I need you on Monday afternoon. Then I say yes. What I'm saying to my kids is no, no. Everything is a no. It's just a matter of who you say no to and what you say no to. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 25. It is a trap for a man to dedicate something rashly and only later to consider his vows. Amen to that one. How many times you walk into something, you didn't know how to say no, you said yes, you got out of it, and you're just kicking yourself. Don't commit without considering. Don't decide without deliberating. I discovered the easiest way to say no. Like, let's take the first step, not say yes. Just buy myself some time. Let me think about it and get back to you. Those words can do magic for your life. Someone comes and says, hey, let's go out and do this. Let me think about it, get back to you. Hey, on this day, I need you to do this. Let me think about it, get back to you. And even better than think about it is pray about it. Just put a little buffer. And what you'll discover is, once you think about it, that and that and that, by saying yes to that, I'm saying no to a lot more valuable stuff. The principle of life is that it's always easier We learned this when we were kids. To get into stuff than to get out of stuff. It's always easier to get into stuff than out of stuff. Trouble. Always easier to get in than out. Debt. Always easier to get in than out. Weight. Much easier to get in and much more enjoyable to get in than to get out. Relationships. Easier to get in than get out. Commitments. Easier to get in than get out. So let's just pause before we get in so we don't get stuck trying to get out. Why do you think it's so hard for us to say no? Why is it like, this is like such like a groundbreaking concept, say no, that you are allowed to say no? Why is it that majority of us in here today are very bad at saying no? And I'm the first one. You know my father of confession? There's like an exercise he makes me do. Once a month, he requires me to say no to him. Once a month. Because I don't say no. I just say yes, yes, yes to everything. Can you do this? Yes. Can you do that? Yes. Can you do that? Yes. So he makes me once a month say no. Now, of course, he doesn't like it that one time when I do say no. But he makes me say no for my own good. Why is it that it's so hard for us to say no? You know why? Because we're arrogant. Because we all think that we're Superman and we have no limits. There's nothing I can't do. I can do that, and 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 I can succeed in this, and I can succeed in that. I can be the best father, I can be the best priest, I can be the best husband, the best basketball player, I can be the number one fan for the Washington Redskins, I can be the best of everything I do, and be the fastest guy in the airport as well. We don't like to put limits on ourselves, so we just keep on adding stuff, because there's nothing that I can't do. Funny story. Like I said, I just mentioned my wife started working recently. So I had to do something last week, which I hadn't done since I was back in college. I had to go to the grocery store. And like, not just to pick up a pack of gum or something, like I had a list of stuff. So because I'm a man, and because I'm an arrogant man, I walk in the grocery store, I have my list of stuff. I know exactly what I need. And then I see all the mothers with kids coming out their minivans with their carts. So I'm like, no way in a million years I'm touching a cart. And then I see maybe some other people with the basket. And I say, you know what? It's just like 7 or 8 items. I'm sure I can make it. I can wing. I don't need the basket. Like, you know, I carry the stuff. And then you're walking and you start to pick up the stuff and you start, and some of the stuff is heavier than you expected. And like the cantaloupe, and it's like, and then all of a sudden you see like, okay, I can probably make it through this list. Cheez-Its on sale. Cheez-Its are like weakness for me. So I'm like, okay, let me pile that one on top. And you walk by and it's like, ho-hos, buy 2, get 1 free. So by the end of the thing, I'm walking around like an idiot, balancing the ho-hos on top of a cantaloupe. And that's the way many of us live our life. Ho-hos on top of a cantaloupe, walking around like just trying to balance everything. We need to admit we need a cart. Or admit we shouldn't be shopping in the first place. One of the two. This is the story of our lives. Trying to cram more in. And the to-do list just gets bigger and bigger. And I can fit this in. And how many of us, I'll judge you right now. Judge yourself. How many of us, when we hear we have a day off, try to fit 2 days worth of activities in that one day? We need to get rid of our to-do list. You know what we need? We need a don't do list. These are the things I'm not going to do anymore. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. And then check them off as you cancel those parts out of your life. I'm not going to do this. Or you know what a don't do list really is? Because like I said, every yes, every no is a yes to something else, and every yes is a no to something else. We need a really important list. Like a what matters most list. Because I guarantee you, the stuff on the what matters most list never appears on the to-do list. How many times does give mom a hug appear on the to-do list? How many times does take my kids to the park appear on the to-do list? How many times does pick up a phone and call that person or write that letter appear on the to-do list? I guarantee you it may appear on your what matters most list. Holiday season, here's what we need to do. Learn to say no. We need to go on a diet. on an activity diet, on a commitment diet. We need to start cutting out some activities. And these activities, we need to learn to just say no. Because some of us have gotten fat when it comes to activities and commitments. And we need to cut some of that fat out. Learn to say no. Third thing you need to do is start obeying the fourth commandment. Y'all know that in the Bible, God gives lots of commandments. And every single one of his commandments is given for whose sake? For my sake. Not for God's sake. For my sake. Every commandment is God saying, I love you. I care about you. I want what's best for you. Don't do this. And don't do that. And don't do that. Because I love you, I care about you, and I want what's best for you. When God gave one of the top, his top 10 list of commandments in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20, verse 9, the fourth one on the list, said, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. I'm not against work, I'm not against ambition, it has a time and place. 6 days, do it. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. God is telling us, I made your body. I made your life. I know how you are wired to work. Trust me. You need a Sabbath. I built this machine. I know how it works. You know nothing. It needs a Sabbath. What's a Sabbath? What does Sabbath mean? Sabbath literally means day of rest. Sabbath equals day of rest. That's why when you're in university, your professor goes on a sabbatical. What does that mean? He goes away and he just focuses on other stuff. He's just away. We need to start taking some Sabbaths. How many of us, when we repent and we prepare to confess, think about this commandment and examine ourselves on whether or not we're taking a Sabbath, whether or not we're taking a rest? How many of us ignore this commandment blatantly and don't even care? What am I supposed to do on a Sabbath? What am I supposed to do on a day of rest? It's bad. You know you got problems when I say rest and you say, what? That's why I never understood. I always said, I hope I'm not going to offend anyone from the state of Arizona. Anyone here from Arizona? Very good. When we were kids, Arizona was the last state to introduce Martin Luther King as a holiday. I don't know if y'all remember that. That was when we were kids. Like in the early 90s, something like that. You know, I mean when I was, you know, just a very wee baby in the 90s. You know. I always thought to myself, like, man, these people must really be racist if they don't want to take a day off of work. What's wrong with these people? Like, what's wrong? We're telling you to take a day off, and these people were resisting it. And what's wrong with us that I say take a day off? And they, but why? What am I going to do? And what do we usually do days off on work? What do we usually do? Run errands. What do we usually do when we're off? Run errands. More work. We find more work to do on the days off. Oh, day off, good, because I got to do this, that. Day off means rest. Rest your body, your mind, your spirit. Rest your body. Actually, let's throw emotions in there too. Rest your body, your mind, your emotions, and your spirit. Resting your body is not bad. Doesn't mean you're not spiritual. Doesn't mean you're a heathen. It means you're a godly person who's following the example that God set. You know, during the French Revolution, I read that at the time, they wanted to get more work out of people, so they outlawed the Sabbath as a day off. They outlawed it. They said, no more day off. Everyone got to work around the clock. They later repealed it or got rid of it. You know why? Because the health of the nation was destroyed. And they saw the health of the nation had gone down and deteriorated significantly. How many times, this happens to me all the time, when you don't want to take a day off, God makes you take a day off. When you don't want to slow down, God makes you slow down against your will. Rest your emotions. How do you rest your emotions? Relationships. Okay? Spend time with loved ones. People. Not all people, because maybe a lot of people are doing the opposite of resting your emotions. But hopefully there's some people out there that you're close with and that you like and likely you would spend time with them. And just hang out. Rest your emotions. Give yourself a little break. Spend some time on the quality things in life. Relationships are much more valuable. Believe me, you spend a day with loved ones, you get nothing done that day, that's a win. That's a win. Rest your minds. Read a book. Yeah, they still make them. Read. I mean, if it wasn't, people ask me, like, how my spiritual life stays fresh. It stays fresh because I read. And when I don't read, my spiritual life is dry. And when I do read, my spiritual life is fresh because I'm always reading. And don't just limit yourself. This is not just, I apply it because I'm a priest, so I'm always reading like spiritual stuff. But maybe in your career, you want to be better at your career? Read. And if you're not reading and you're not learning, like read. It's not harmful. Read, okay? It's good for you every now and then. But then most important, rest your spirit. How you rest your spirit? Rest your spirit must be silent. I'll tell you a funny story. Once I was taking a personal retreat, and I went to like this Catholic monastery. It was in a faraway place. So, I mean, I went there, and they gave me a good deal and stuff like that and said, okay, you stay over there, and there's going to be some other Catholic monks. I don't even think they were monks. They were like training to be priests. They were lay people, but training to be priests. We're going to do a 3-day retreat there. I'm like, okay, that's cool. Like, what do I care? He said, no, but they have a special retreat. I was like, okay. He said, they have a silence retreat. I was like, silence retreat? I'm like, don't worry. Mine's on vibrate, but I'll turn it to silence. Okay, that's fine. He's like, no. He's like, they're not going to talk for 3 days. I'm like, why? He said, that's their retreat. It was the weirdest thing to walk around all day and no one making a sound. Like, we'd have lunch together in the same thing, no one made a peep. Like, I wanted to be like... like, it was driving me crazy. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to just headbutt someone and just make some noise. They spent 3 days and didn't make a peep. I didn't even think that was possible. But they did it. And they all lived... They all survived, and I guarantee you they came out refreshed spiritually. One of the great fathers of the church, St. Arsenius, said, I never, ever regret being silent. Many times I have regretted opening my mouth, but I've never once regretted keeping it closed. Something to think about. Anyway, my point is if you are serious about slowing down, you need to schedule some Sabbath time into your schedule. Remember, saying no to something is saying yes to another thing. So when I say no to this commitment and no to this commitment, I'm saying yes to open myself up to be able to take a Sabbath. And that's why it's critical that I say no, give myself the space to be able to say yes. Gotta schedule some time. Thanksgiving holiday, y'all got a lot of days off of work. Maybe a good time, take a day and just relax. Maybe a good time, take a day, just hang out with some family that you haven't seen in a while. Maybe take a day, maybe pick up a book, and maybe say, you know what, this day, I'm not going to check my email, I'm going to check my text message, I'm not going to even turn on the TV, I'm going to choose a day with no football, obviously, okay? I'm just going to read. Psalm 127, verse 2 says, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. In vain you keep on working round the clock. God grants sleep to those he loves. Number one, check inside. Stop the constant push for more. What's going on? What's driving me? Number two, learn to say no. I'm telling you, let's practice together. I say learn to say. I point to you. You say no. Learn to say. No. Say it like you mean it. Learn to say. No. Say it like you're talking to your boss who's asking you to stay late on a Friday. Say. No. Amen. No. It feels good, doesn't it? Learn to say no. Obey the fourth commandment, schedule that Sabbath time. And then number four, wait for God's timing. One of the reasons why we get in a hurry, we get in a hurry because we are impatient and we do not trust in God's timing. And when we don't get what we want when we want, we start going 100 miles an hour in order to get it right now. What I'm saying is, I started inside, went outside, I'm back inside now. It began with examining this, do some stuff, then get back in here and commit your heart to trusting that God knows what's best and He gives it when it's best. That ain't easy. That ain't easy. But commit your heart to really trusting and believing that God has my best interest at heart more than I do. More than I do. I'm like the spoiled little kid who just thinks I should eat candy all day. And I say, give me more candy, give me more candy. Trust that God is the smart parent who says, no, you need broccoli. No, you need carrots. Trust that God has my best interest at heart even when I don't and I don't know, and trust that He knows and I don't know. Trust in His smartness and in my dumbness. When God wants to do something great in your life, as I'm sure He wants to do in your life, trust that He's going to do it at the right time. Like, there's two components. We always talk about God's will, God's will, God's will. There's two components. There's what God wants and then when God wants it. And we think just because we know what God wants, we have the right to have it exactly right now. What God wants is only half the story. When He wants it is equally as important. Just like I have a son, I want him to one day have a car and drive it around. But the when is very important. Not until he's 16. Okay? Having a car, which is what I want him to have, before I want him to have it, is bad. And you got to trust that God knows what He's doing. And don't be that little spoiled little brat that just give me now, give me now, give me now. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Everything beautiful in its time. No one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Here's the way I'm going to look at it. Y'all know NASCAR? Y'all know NASCAR? The racing, the cart? There's something at the beginning called a pace car. Y'all know what a pace car is? Y'all don't watch NASCAR? Okay, good. Okay. Sorry, I just came from Tennessee. Sorry. The pace car, as the name implies, sets the pace. Very good. Okay. Well named. So basically what the pace car does, everyone knows they want to go around, but before they can get ready to go 100 miles an hour, the pace car sets the pace. It's okay. Okay. And then they drop the checkered flag and then everyone goes like a crazy person. But you can't go like a crazy person until they drop the checkered flag. You got to follow the pace car. God sets the pace car. We want to go 100 miles an hour at all times, even in the airport. Everywhere we go. Ah! God says, let's go on pace. Because I got a great plan for your life. I want to make something great out of you. But I also have a great timing for your life. And can you trust that everything is beautiful in its time? And the flip of that is, not in its time is not beautiful, is not good. I'll leave you with this verse. This verse and this picture. Can't see the picture too well, but it's my favorite picture in the world. Verse is John 10:10. A verse you all know very well. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. What I want to leave you with today is I want you to realize, you know, there's a song out there that says, we were meant to live for so much more. Y'all heard that one? But we lost it somehow. We were meant to live for so much more. This hurry, this busy, this that we say is uncontrollable, it's Northern Virginia, it's the D.C. area, all that nonsense, we were meant to live for so much more. And God has some great, great, great stuff. This is not the way we were meant to live. Our relationships were not meant to be surface level like this. Our spiritual life was not meant to be in a 5-minute commercial breaks. Our bodies were not meant to be pushed to the limit that we pushed them. We were meant to live for so much more. Who can trust that? Who can trust that they were meant to live with so much for so much more and slow down? That's my prayer for you for this Thanksgiving week, this Christmas season. And I guarantee you, someone come back to me do what I just said, slow down their life, and come tell me how it ruined their life. I'd be love to hear that story. I bet you I'd hear the exact opposite. You slow down, the week that you slow down is the week that you come back and say, I found a richness in my life that I never even knew existed before. May God help us all to really slow down. Let's stand for a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Lord, we thank you that you have come to give us life and give it more abundantly. And we thank you that you don't listen to our whining, and you don't give in to our complaining, but you always do what's best for us, Lord. Even we don't realize it's best, you always do what's best for us. Lord, please help us to really trust in you, to stop trying to make ourselves feel important, to realize that we are important because of who we are to you, to find our significance in you, not in work, not in achievements, not in material stuff, not in pleasures. Find all of our satisfaction and our worth in you, Lord. Lord, please help each and every single person here. You know, Lord, the life that's waiting outside for them and the stuff that's going to hit them in the face as soon as they get back to their jobs or their homes, their whatevers. Pray, Lord, that you really help each one of us to slow down, to really slow down and make time for the things that we know we need to. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, with the intercessions and prayers of all your saints. Hear us, Lord, as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Go in peace. May the peace of God be with you all.